Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour conference program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is July 23rd, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan, let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
I still have to laugh, folks, because I'm still, even after over a year, how long have you been doing this one with me, over a year?
I don't know. You have to look up when I first started radio.
I don't know, but
like
I still
forever.
Find it, yeah, it, well, not with me. I'm still finding it kind of unusual. Anyway, you can find updates with breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, or ministry help, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which simulcasts live on the net internationally. It's on some FM stations. Just pray about supporting airtime.
But I'm going to guess it's probably closer to 2 years. You better research that. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base in places worldwide like Bogota, Colombia.
Bogota. There you go.
Ah,
Bogota, Colombia.
I remember I've heard that before. Bogota, Colombia.
Yeah, and that's how I pronounce it because it, by looking at it, it doesn't look like Bogota, you know what I mean, by the way.
No, it's Bogota.
Bogota. Oh, hey, I'm not picking on you folks in Bogota or in Bogota.
In Colombia.
Colombia.
Anyway.
You know. Okay.
And the other one's Brisbane, Australia, Valencia, Spain. And then in the USA, we have Jacksonville, Florida, Aurora, Illinois, Portland, Oregon, and Wichita, Kansas is back at the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Yeah, Portland, and that's where all the stuff's going on. And you folks, if you're eyewitness to any of that stuff and you want to talk, and I'll hide your name or whatever, if you're witness to some of the violence, get a hold of me. Text me or something. Put you on radio and with Mom and I and let you tell us the story. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I want radio tonight to go according to your will, not my wife's will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, of course, right now everybody's talking about the next election. At least they should be, because of what will happen in this country one way or another. Because I don't believe that either side will accept the other side's victory.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. We have things like the pre-tribulation rapture, Christian pastor saying, I saw great persecution for the church with a message that says, endure. We're going to do the song, as I wrote him a note, right after a break. And I did change it to prayer, but I meant right after break. I'm sorry. I apologize. Anyway, we have things like the pre-tribulation pastor saying, I saw great persecution for the church. That was Pastor Dana. But he got a message that the church needed to endure to the end, and the church would be under great persecution. That doesn't seem like a pre-trib rapture message, but isn't that who a message like that ought to go to would be the preacher of rapture people,
right,
to warn them that that trouble's coming. They're not going to fly out. Anyway, he also saw the Oval Office empty, and not Trump or any president or Iran, along with cities burning. Well, the cities are burning right now. Will his dreams come true? I have no idea at all in the world. I haven't got another confirmation. Some people say it, and some don't. I just don't know yet. But I do know one thing. If we don't, the church doesn't wake up and start speaking for the truth, then we're not going to make this election. I do expect a huge Trump victory at election time. Also believe that we'll see a huge backlash against Democrats for the elections, up for elections. In other words, I think a lot of Democrats are going to be replaced in office.
I expect it to be just like it was 2016, only double fold. I expect them to cheat and try and steal it every which way they didn't try and every way they did try before. But I expect that Trump will still win.
Yeah, absolutely. They are going to try all that. And that's what I said. Neither side's going to will accept the election. I mean, we were more closer to doing it the other, but if it's going to end up in turmoil any way you look at it. But yeah, even Biden said they already sent out a whole bunch of attorneys to all the different polling places in different states and things, battleground states.
I expect Antifa and Black Lives Matter and who else they got to try and blockade the voting polls and keep people from voting, stop people from voting.
Here's what you're seeing, this just came up in my brain a while ago, is that a lot of these major cities where you're seeing the rioting going on are Democrat-run cities, and so they want to keep that up for several reasons, but not it won't. The riots, pretty much, they think, won't scare away Democrats, but it might scare away the Republicans from
That's
wanting
right.
to show up to the polls. But wait, we're going to cover some of this. Anyway, Breitbart reported today about a poll that was released Wednesday by the American Principles Project, or APP, and SPRA Strategies, found that President Donald Trump leads Joe Biden in 7 of the 10 battleground states. If you look at other polls, the various things the Democrats are for, most Americans are against. So let's go with this. Go ahead.
On hot bottom issues, the survey...
Button.
Oh, hot button. Okay.
It's not bottom.
Hot button issues, the survey results were also very interesting. Black Lives Matter is very popular until voters learn that Black Lives Matter actually supports... what they actually support, then it becomes very unpopular. Yeah, because it's not anything what it's put up to be. It's a cover for Antifa is what it is.
Well, it's not a cover for Antifa. Those are two different organizations, but both of them are not telling the truth what they're about. Both of them are to overthrow the country. They're communists. Go ahead.
Right. Voters hate the idea of biological males competing against female athletes in women's sports. The strongly oppose minors being subjected to sex changes or gender conversion therapy. They want to protect kids from online pornography, and they want big tech companies to allow free speech and free expression on their platforms.
All these views are President Trump's views, and still Americans believe he can do the best for the economy, and it will come back, but the Democrats are trying to suppress it. Here's another one. Here's a good reason why polls are simply wrong.
A new Cato Institution, Cato Institution, YouGov, national survey found 62% of Americans say the political climate today prevents them from saying what they believe. This is up several points from 2017, when 58% of Americans say they were afraid to share their political beliefs. 31% of liberals, 30% of moderates, and 34% of conservatives are worried their political views could get them fired or harm their career trajectory. The Cato
Institute. They've been around. Cato Institute's been around for a long time. It's a polling place and things, and they handle a lot of numbers. They're pretty accurate. I don't know that they are biased one way or the other. They've been pretty accurate, but in this day and age, It's hard to tell who's accurate.
Oh, believe it. A workplace is nothing but a workplace. You don't put politics or religion in either one in your workplace, or you will cause yourself trouble.
Right. And you don't want to do that with somebody that you know you're going to be working with or whatever, you know. Because even if it doesn't cause, it would cause you a problem, you know, hard feelings and all that. And let alone if you have, if you're, let's say you're a Trump supporter and you say to run liberals, well, it's safer for a liberal to tell us, a conservative, what their belief is than the other way around.
A conservative tell them, you might get shot, killed, or beat to death.
Yeah, in this day and age, it's just crazy over nothing. Over nothing.
Heck, you can just wear a hat and get beat to death.
Right, right, right. And they don't care if you're crippled, what age you are, or anything. They'll just hurt you. Okay.
A recent poll conducted by the Political. Oh, okay.
Well, it's political. Okay. Let me tell you what Political is. Political is a leftist-leaning magazine and online publication online.
Okay. Politico found that a plurality of Americans believe cancer culture has gone too far. There have been shifts across the board where more people among the political groups feel they are walking on eggshells. The Cato survey found, adding majorities of Democrats 52%, Independents 59%, and Republicans 77%, who all agree they have political opinions they are afraid to share.
Okay, now let's go back. With Democrats, that means there is a lot of Democrats that out there, you know, and especially I've seen it. Now, I go across a lot of platforms, you know, I don't just do Facebook. I go through Facebook, I go through Twitter, I go through other platforms of social media to see what other people say. And even one of the best ones, believe it or not, while it's a China-based thing, is TikTok. There's a lot of funny dance videos and those things, but people are getting on there and using it to express their political opinions. And you see black people all the time expressing votes for Trump and support for Trump, and people from all ages, and they're saying it, and they say they don't care if they lose friends or not. You're seeing a broader spectrum. You got to look at society at home. Where is society at? Where are they shifting to? They shift around. Now, one thing I just barely ever go to is Instagram. Instagram's owned by Facebook. I don't do that much. But I glance across those to get a broader spectrum of what people are saying, because that's where the people are going. And going across that spectrum, you can see there's a lot of black people and typical Democrats. They aren't behind any of this garbage in the first place. They say Black Lives Matter does not represent them, and so on and so forth. I think Trump's going to have a landslide. Go ahead.
Strong liberals stand out, however, as the only political group who feel they can express themselves. Nearly 6 in 10, 58% of staunch liberals feel they can say what they believe, the Cato survey found.
Okay, staunch liberals. You know, what's that mean?
As real strong liberals will not be moved or swayed, or however you want to put it.
Radical. And,
yeah,
you know,
stand on what they believe and nobody else is right.
Yeah,
it's my way or the highway.
And they won't even listen to discussion. And Frank says communist, that's what it means.
Yeah.
So I'll even throw that in. I agree, Frank. Okay.
A majority of centrist liberals. Now, what's a centrist liberal?
Go ahead, I'll tell you when you finish.
Who in 2017 said they could express their views freely, now say they have no self-censor.
They have to self-censor.
Oh, they have to self-censor. Yeah, hold their tongue.
Yeah, hold their tongue. A central, that means that's a person that mostly they are a liberal, but they are still willing to listen to conversation, and they could be, well,
socialist.
Well, he says socialist, but they can be swayed from one way to another because they are not completely hardcore.
So they can be swayed.
They can be swayed. And, yeah, they are socialists. All liberals nowadays are socialists. Practically all Democrats are. Not all Democrats, because there's some older, old-school Democrats. Then these are the ones who are standing up and saying they don't believe in what all this younger stuff is saying. But, you know, there is an older group of Democrats out there that are not bad people. You know what I'm saying? It's just their party has been hijacked. Go ahead.
A new Cato Institute YouGov national survey found 62% of Americans say the political climate today prevents them from saying what they believe. This is up several points from 2017, when 58% of Americans said they were afraid to share their political beliefs. 31% of liberals, 30% of moderates, and 34% of conservatives are worried their political views could get them fired or harm their career trajectory, the Cato survey stated. A recent poll conducted...
Okay, stop.
Okay, yeah, because I think I already read that.
We did. That somehow that got double on there, but we don't know. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so what was my point? Let's go in. We'll go back to the point. The reason that we gave you all that, it goes back to this. Well, the polls, the so-called polls out there, a lot of them are saying, oh, you know, Biden's going to win by a landslide and blah, blah, blah. We're not getting, the polls are not getting the correct numbers.
Oh.
If they would, they showed Hillary way ahead of Trump last time.
Right.
But my point is this, it's even worse. Because people aren't afraid to speak out. Even if they call you on the phone, they're not. People will say, well, this is anonymous and all that. People don't trust them enough to say that, okay, I'm a Democrat and I'm voting for Trump. They're too scared to say that. They either won't say it or that they will actually lie and say, well, no, I'm going to vote Democrat or whatever. Because they're afraid. Look what happens to people.
Yeah.
You know, you're living in an age
just
where
terror
is there. anyway... Anyway, moving right along. So that's why that comes up. Anyway, look at all the social media platforms. You see that black person after black person is saying that they are voting for President Trump. Now, let's go on with this. This is a real good point, and we got time. Go ahead.
Pew Research, majority BLM protesters are white Democrats.
Black Lives Matter.
Right. And you see that, too, in most of their protests and their rallies. Most of all, the people are white.
Okay, we got to get this one.
Large-scale race protests and rallies have captured public attention around the world and amplified calls for police reforms. They are driven by young white Americans with college degrees. Of the 6% of American adults who said they attend a protest or rally in the last month, according to the recent Pew Research Center survey, most of the actual marchers were likely to be white, live in an urban area, and vote for or support the Democratic Party, particularly focused on issues related to race or racial equality.
And those young people, and most of them are young people, and they're being used. Now, what did I told you this the other day. You remember what I told you about Antifa? What's the biggest, according to the FBI, what is the most common trade? What do they do for work? Of Antifa.
Are you ready for this? Oh, this is going to make me cry. School teachers.
School teachers. That goes back to what I've been saying all along. What I've been saying. Now, you still got to see that's more in the more Democratic the state, the more that is, and all the garbage there to them. California, I feel sorry for you folks in California, but you need to stand up and fight. There's the point. Evangelical Christians have got to the point where they're not supposed to say something. They're supposed to just let pray and God will take care of it all. Well, there's a thing that says faith without works is dead. In fact, we're going to address that in the second half of this program today. But the point is, going back to the teachers, been saying it on radio for a long time, been saying it forever. In fact, I first discovered it when I started helping out STEM many years ago. I don't remember which specific speaker brought it up the first time that I heard it, but investigating it, it's true. You know, it goes back to that Communist Manifesto thing that we read that said that they would take over the schools, liberalize the schools, and put their message in them, and they would brainwash American kids, and they would take over.
Yeah, that was way back when we did. Wasn't that the start when they started quality-based education?
Right after we started. Clinton era is where that came from. And so that was about the same time. But let's go with this. Adolf Hitler, one of the things that Adolf Hitler said was, give me the children, and in two generations, I'll take over the world.
Yep.
You know, and this is what you're seeing. The army that's out there that's doing all these riots and things, all these kids that people are making fun of are home in their parents' basements and so on and so forth. Their liberalized parents have allowed it to be taught to their kids, and in some cases not liberal parents just because they didn't pay attention. But the schools have been teaching it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the FBI says the number one profession for Antifa is teachers. And so that's a fact. So, folks, prayerfully, can America be saved? I don't know. We're in the time of the end. One thing is going to come after the other, after the other, after the other. But I know America will not go away until Israel has accomplished some things, that will stand, that have to happen in the end times, before we can just go overboard and say, no, America, this America supports Israel. We have to have an America that supports Israel, because the Father is using, as it always has, America to protect Israel until it fulfills to the place that then America can't, at some point America has to be out of the way, whether it's blown off the map, something has to change in America in order for Israel to be invaded, like the Bible says, because we're holding them back. At some point, something has to put America out of the way. But in the same light, too, America has to be there until, biblically, it reaches that point. You understand what I mean?
Right.
You know, and so right now, we're holding back. So I really don't look for America to go away, but it could, because everything comes so fast, we don't know exactly how things
are going to play out. In the twinkling of an eye.
Well, even faster than that. But anyway, moving right along. Let's go with this. Almost break time, so what can they find and where can they find it?
You can find all the information about the Size Branch Mission Church and the radio archives, and make sure you check out the pastor's page, because it's got all the breaking news and all the updates and everything, that all the current events and stuff that's going on. It's got some really good stuff on there. But all of our contact information and everything is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Amen. You cleared the pastor's page.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, America, time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's knowing we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken. It sure seems that we've been reamed. But you tell us we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey America, aren't you fed up?
Ephesus, the capital of Western Asia Minor, was best known for its Temple of Diana. In the book of Acts, we read that the Apostle Paul had persuaded many people, not only of Ephesus but all throughout Asia, that the gods and goddesses they were worshiping were, as the Bible states, no gods. Those involved with the worship of these false gods, concerned that their livelihood was in danger, were full of wrath and began to cry out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." We're told that the whole city was filled with confusion. Today there are many whose livelihood depends on the propagation of pagan tradition by pretending that it is in honor of Christ. These teachers, knowing full well that Easter is the name of a pagan fertility goddess, that December 25th is the birth date of the sun god, and that Sunday is not the Sabbath day, cry out just as in Ephesus when they are challenged to tell the truth. The things that they teach when confronted with the truth causes confusion, revealing that they are not of God, for He is not the author of confusion. The Bible plainly warns of these vain talkers and deceivers who teach things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. We are told that these men are identified by their teachings of the commandments of men that turn away from the truth, and that they should be sharply rebuked that they may be sound in the faith. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about in this half, so first off, though, let's get this song about Noah.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Forgetting about the flood, in anger He once brought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that He's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. Got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying.
it's a real good song about the days of Noah, and changed a lot from what we're going to be talking about in a minute. Things are so crazily weird, and this is one of the most strangest ones, and got the biggest reaction out of you the last couple of days. Read that headline.
Girls as young as six, sexting during pandemic, cyber safety research suggests. Okay, girls as young, excuse me. Girls as young as six are sending sexual explicit texts during the coronavirus pandemic. New research suggests as parents were offered a million free downloads of a cyber safety app available on the government's website. So
that's good enough to talk about it. Because we can't use a lot of time, but there's a point. And that was in the United Kingdom, for the record. So you folks over there in the United Kingdom, I mean, that's just sick. But it's worldwide. But how can you imagine that? A child that's 6 years old, do you think they really realize the right and wrong with somebody that's six or nine or eight, maybe texting, says, like we've seen that the picture that went with it showed a little girl receiving a text. And the other person that was texting said, I want to see all of you. And she says, you mean naked. Do you think a girl 6 or 7 or 8 years old really realizes? What do you think about that?
No, they don't know what's going on.
Well, right. It's for the people.
They only know what they're taught and what they see.
Well, let me go with this.
They're products of their environment.
Should a child that young have a cell phone?
No, children shouldn't have phones until they're at least a teenager.
Right, or how
and about... And if they have internet, it should be always supervised with parental controls on whatever they're on.
Right, right, absolutely. But you know, it goes back to the parents. You know, when you see bad actions of the children, you got to first go back to who's allowing it.
Exactly.
Right, okay, anyway, that so of course, now folks, now we're going into this about, no, this is a really important thing. It's about everything. Well, of course, we all know that no matter what, the father is the one to decide whether we're safe or not safe. But let me ask you this. So if God has the ultimate say, Father Yahweh does, on saying, you know, well, you know, whether you live or die or you get sick or whatever, with that attitude, are you supposed to just walk out in traffic or walk off a cliff?
No, you got to do your part.
You have to do your part. That very good. Somebody must have taught her well.
Well, you have to do your part. You can't. If that would be the case, we'd be all robots. We wouldn't have choices. It's about choices. You make good choices or bad choices. And sure, the Lord's there to help you through either way you go, but you have to do your part. God's not going to do it for you.
Okay, we're going to go into that. So Noah was to save her. He was to save a remnant of mankind to replenish the earth, right?
Okay. Right.
So let's start like this, Genesis 6.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Okay.
And I want to add something right there because I can see exactly how the Lord feels, because you raise your children and you teach them the right and the wrong and everything, and no matter what, when they become 18, they're going to do whatever they're going to do regardless of how you teach them anyway. So when these people say it's how they were raised, I don't agree with that, because children are going to do what they're going to do when they get of age. It doesn't matter how they're raised.
Well, it does matter how they're raised, because you give them something to pull back on it.
Right, well, that's true.
It does matter. And we say that, you know.
But when they take the bad path or the good path, it's them, not the parents.
It is their choice. And, you know, and they have a better chance of succeeding if they have been giving them things and not giving them. So, you know, I agree to a point with you, but I disagree also. They will do what they're going to do. They have a better chance if you put the right things in them. Besides that, we're commanded by the Word to do it. It says those that spare the rod hate their child, and it is up to us, according to the Word, to teach them. So anyway, so Noah found grace with Yahweh. That's what we're talking about now. So what is grace? Go ahead.
Grace, which comes from the Greek New Testament word charis, is God's unmerited favor. It is kindness from God that we don't deserve. There is nothing we have done, nor can we ever do, to earn His favor, to earn this favor. It is a gift from God. Grace is divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration, rebirth, or sanctification, a virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine favor.
Okay, and sanctification is being set apart. Set apart for His purpose. That's what holy means, being set apart for His purpose. He decides who to give grace to and who not to give grace to. So grace is a free gift from Yahweh. It's free. We can't earn grace. That's clear. We're saved by grace. It's a free gift from Yahweh. But there's still, we have to do our part. And it'll all be explained by the time we get to the bottom of this. Because, folks, she's looking at me like, okay. Anyway, so Noah received a free gift of grace now.
Okay, and Yahweh said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt you finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set it in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to them, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Yes. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive.
Stop. Pause for a second. After their kind. That was one of the first rules that was laid out in creation, was everything after its kind, and, you know, it was good. Yahweh saw that it was good. That's what it's supposed to be, everything after its own kind. That's what was actually violated because of the Nephilim, you know, because of the fallen angels coming down, Genesis 6, that got the earth corrupted. Go on now.
And take thou thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so he did.
Okay. So, grace is a free gift to the Father, in this instance, Noah. But Noah still had to do some work. He had to build an ark, gathered food, gathered clothing, got the animals, had to put them in the ark. And so, he had to do something. Now, really, Father Yahweh could have just let them all be destroyed and just recreated everything. Or you could also say that the Father could have just built the ark himself, so to speak, and just did everything. But no. Noah got grace first, but after he received the grace, what did he get? He still had to prove his faith in Yahweh by doing what? By doing some work.
By building the ark and getting two of every animal and all the food and all the clothing and his family and getting them in the ark where they would be safe. Otherwise, guess what?
Okay.
They would have drowned.
Okay, so grace is a free gift. In order to be saved from the flood, Noah had to do his part. Noah worked. Of course, he had faith, because otherwise he wouldn't have built the ark, and he acted out in faith by preparing the ark. Now, let's look at this, folks. I want to show you this, and I'm going to read this real quick. James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one Yahweh or one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou hast faith wrought with works, and by works has faith made him perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of Yahweh. So he acted in faith, he believed Yahweh, and so he did what Yahweh wanted him to do. That's the work. So you see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, was also not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, being alone. So we're required to do our part, just like getting saved. We're given grace. It's a free gift from the Father. Amen. But we must repent, which means turning away and changing our minds about sinning and wanting to be holy, as He, Yeshua, is holy. Folks, that's work. But the important part still isn't over. Once we do our part, there's something that happens afterwards, as we humans always fall short, even in repentance. Go ahead.
And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird and of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two by two, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in.
So something else happened in that. Can you tell what it was? What was the finale?
God shut them in there.
God shut them in. So after they acted in faith and they did the work, Yahweh the Father did what?
Shut them in and sealed it where water can come in. No leaks, so he did a good job building it.
So here's the thing. We're always required. It goes like this. The Father gives us a gift. Then we have to act in faith and do our part, which is a work which comes natural. It's not that we're trying to earn our way, because our way was given, but we have to believe Him, which is part of that. So we believe Him, we do our part, but our part always falls shut. So what's He do? He puts His final seal with it. So when we make preparations, like we know trouble is coming, we are supposed to do everything we can, whether it's to raise our children or to get prepared for bad times or the things that are coming. But when we run out, Yahweh starts. You
right.
understand what I
right.
mean? And so then He seals us. He puts us in. So, folks, you say that you're not ready for what's coming, and you don't have no means to get ready. You're supposed to do everything in your power to get ready for bad times. First off, most assuredly, with your salvation, you need to make sure that that's right. We don't know what the rest of this year is going to be, or for that matter, for the time and
what tomorrow is going to bring, for that matter.
The next 5 minutes when we walk out,
right.
When the radio program's over in about 12 minutes, then we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen on radio. Live radio is that way. I could be talking. I can't tell you how many times I've just went off the air or something's happened. It's on live radio. But we need to try to be prepared for that, to have an alternate for things. But when we finish everything that we can do, then the Father steps in and does the end of the things. But we have to follow the sequence of things. It's just like being saved. I keep going back to that. Being saved. So then what? Now, we'll go to this other part. Now, when we become saved, another natural thing comes, and that's fruits. Fruits come by believing in faith, you believe Yahweh, but by faith you're saved. You can tell if a person is right or wrong. How do we tell? Matthew chapter 7.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs, or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt...
A good tree cannot bring forth... Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, that by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Okay, iniquity versus being without law, being without Torah. So these people that proclaim, that explains how somebody, we say, well, they healed somebody, but, you know, their theology isn't good because they're so, you know, well, they're healing in the name of Yeshua, so it's the name of Yeshua that's doing the healing.
Right.
That, and so that's what's doing it. But their actions, their personal actions, they're not producing fruits in their life. You know, you can look at them and see, well, what is the fruit of a saved person? It's the fruit of a saved person comes from just like Noah. His fruit was building the ark.
Right.
He believed. That's just like Abraham. He offered Isaac on the altar. He believed, so his work, which is also his fruit, was that he did do what Yahweh said and offered Isaac up. That was the fruit, that he was being obedient. That fruit, you would say, was being obedience to Yahweh. And so we're supposed to be obedient to his word. And so when you see, people just need obedience to the word. I'm not, of course, anybody calls out the name of Yeshua to the Father, you will be saved. But if you don't change your mind and repent and turn away from the way you are, then...
It's not once saved, always saved. You got to do your part.
You have to do your part. We've just proved that. Okay, well, we got about 3 minutes. We talk about the mission church.
Okay. And what do you want to talk about?
You always draw a blank. You know more about the cooking and all that stuff and all the food than I do, and you always go, I don't know.
Okay, the vegetables are still on sale. The number 10 cans for $2. I'd like to snag some of them. If
that's
somebody
new.
Wants them.
You found out they were on sale.
And I am in need of toilet paper for the hygiene bags. I don't do them this Tuesday. I do them every other Tuesday, but I do 60 and I got 48 rolls, so... I need toilet paper again, and go plates and forks.
And it's real hard right now. You know, we have a hard time stretching the money that we get over all things. That is all by faith. You know, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. We've been doing this 20 years on not knowing what will happen.
Faith.
By faith, not knowing, believing. We were told to do what we're doing and appointed to do what we're doing. So by faith, we even go over to Wichita when we have spent
nothing to fix, nothing, don't know what we're going to feed, don't have nothing, don't have no money, don't have nothing there. And when we get there, ta-da!
Yeah, and there or shortly after. And it's the same way with the gas situation and other things, you know. So we step out in faith. That our work that came natural... let's go with this. A lot of people, to do the kind of work that we do, would sit home and fundraise or whatever until they got enough to go do what they do.
Yeah, they wouldn't go if they didn't have anything to do it with.
Right. But we
some people will, but not for the most part. Most people won't.
Yeah, you're learning your words again, and that's the truth. I mean, some people will, and we have to point that out. And excuse us if we both said, I do it all the time. I'll say all, when it don't really mean all.
Right.
You know, there's still some. It's just like, you know, I talk about the church needs to wake up and start talking, and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean all the church, because, you know, like Carl Gallup. He stands up and writes books about it and everything else about the need for
Stan Johnson,
and there's a lot of them that do, but the biggest percentage of the mainstream church needs to wake up and step out in faith. You know what I mean? But so there is the point. So, and I just wanted to point that out because by I've noticed, you know, words have a lot of meanings, and just one little word, whether it's all instead of or some, that changes the meaning of things. You know what I mean? That really does change the meaning of things. But anyway, so get ready. I don't know, again, folks, I don't know what's going to happen. We'd like to get some more stock in the Mission Church. We're trying to buy some more of these vegetables at $2 a can, because like you noticed, you said this actually said it was a sale, right?
Yes, it's a sale. There were, it said on the sticker that they were normally $3.48, and they're on sale for $2. And I don't know how long that sale is going to last, but it's been a couple weeks now. So.
And you also pointed out something else to me, and we do need this too, folks. You pointed out to me, you know, I thought we had a lot of fruit, because right before this happened, we got a bunch of donations of cans, of big cans of fruits, and I gave away a bunch of it, which I kind of wished I would have just kept now. But so.
Right, and we are running low on number 10 cans of fruit, because I use them to fill in when I don't have, you know, a full dish. But I've been serving a lot of fruit lately, so.
Right,
we're running low on number 10 cans of fruit.
Well, seeing that says something, because you needed something else, so you've been putting fruit in. So we haven't been getting enough new stuff to donate. We had to go back into stock.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean, folks. It's summertime. During the summertime, things go down, let alone with COVID. Yes, I thank the Father for all of the donations that come in on a regular basis. Without you long-term supporters, I don't know what we'd do. But we also need new supporters and people that just donate randomly. We need your support. Yes, if you live in Wichita, you can bring us by clothing and those plastic, what do you call them?
Those bags, Walmart bags, Dillon's bags. You know the little plastic bags you put your stuff in? Well, they need them to put their stuff in.
Yeah, you pointed out to me the other day in the videos online that, you know, you go through 200 of them or 120 or something like
easy.
That.
Easy. And that just, it makes, when I do hygiene bags, then you got 60 hygiene bags, 60 dinner plate bags. And then if they got other stuff that comes in the donation, then they got, that's three times 60. That's 180 in one day.
Right, exactly. Well, folks, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart. If you do not wish to help with the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime, because it is not free. And if you want to listen to us, keep listening to us. We've got to pay our airtime over there. And you can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. If
yeah,
you don't...
We already said
okay,
that.
Already
anyway, look. Anyway, my point is this. I was going to say about... Yeah, we ain't got no time. Tell them goodbye.
Shalom.
Oh, and for the record, I was in shock when my 25-year-old son said he didn't know what a money order was. Folks, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He died for our repentant sins. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's like praying for Messiah's return.
Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps him. And that, Father, your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.